Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Morning, Ben.
How are you?
Doing well, Ben.
Okay. So what do we have? What are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, we're going to talk a little bit today about spousal relief in relation to taxes.
Spousal relief.
Spousal
getting
relief.
Away for the weekend, right?
That's right. So, you know, one of the big things that we mention on this program frequently is that when you file a joint tax return with your spouse, you become joint and severally liable for the debt that's associated with the return.
Okay, explain what joint and severally means.
It means that they can collect the full amount of the debt from both of you or either of you. And where this becomes more pressing, Ben, is then in the event when spouses go their separate ways, for instance, and there's a divorce proceeding or a separation agreement, and the, you know, in the agreement it says, well, you take your debt, I'll take mine, kind of thing. Or it says you pay the tax debt specifically. And then next thing you know, you're getting hit with a bill or getting hit with a levy more than likely, where the services come in and taking the tax debt. And you go, wait a second. That separation agreement, that divorce decree said that my spouse was supposed to pay this debt. And
right.
How is the IRS coming after me?
Yeah.
Well, the short answer, Ben, is that federal law trumps state law.
Yes.
And joint and several liability trumps that as well, and make sure that you end up having to pay that bill, even though you may have a good state document that says otherwise. And we talked about on the back end maybe trying to get some relief in the state courts. But the service is powerful, and when you sign that dotted line with your spouse, you're agreeing to accept their debt and your debt.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is there is some relief available. And I kind of wanted to go through the different types of relief today, just in general, and give you some scenarios and examples of where this relief fits in.
If they had filed separately, would that still be true?
What's that?
If they had filed their taxes separately, the husband and wife.
As long as they file separately, and married filing separately, then, you know, the liability associated with the husband's return would be the husband's.
Okay.
The liability associated with the spouse's return would be the spouse. And that's the way that it works. So, you know, whenever we have an individual who gets married knowing that there is a problem with their spouse's taxes, knowing that maybe they owe a little bit to the service, or maybe they even owe support payments like child support payments or things like that that can be offset on tax returns. You know, the quick answer is, it's quick and easy to say, just make sure you don't file and do exactly what you said, Ben, which is file separately.
Right.
That way, his liability is his, my liability is mine.
Right.
If I am due a refund, I make sure I get that refund.
Okay.
You know, that's one of the ways you can do it. But the issue with that, Ben, is that sometimes,
Problem arises later.
Yeah. Well, sometimes the problem arises later. That's exactly right. Maybe you didn't know that the individual had these back child support payments. Maybe you didn't know that they had, back taxes that were owed.
Okay.
And in that case, sometimes you need to ask for some relief.
Okay. So what kind of forms of relief are
there? We're looking for, in this particular case, Ben, whenever your refund is being affected by your spouse's debt due simply because you filed a joint return, you're looking for what we call injured spouse relief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the ways that you qualify for injured spouse relief is that you paid, federal income tax, or you're claiming a refund, a refundable tax credit, such as the earned income tax credit or maybe a child tax credit, and that you file a joint return with your spouse, and you're not legally supposed to pay the back debt that's associated with it, and your return, your refund, or your refundable credit gets offset, taken by the federal government. And so when this scenario arises, Ben, you know, you need to make sure that you file for injured spouse relief, not innocent spouse relief. That's a different scenario that we'll go over here in a second.
Okay. All right.
Injured spouse relief, and that's
right.
Form 8379. And that would be a form where we're going to literally take a joint return, and we're going to put your tax attributes on one side, your spouse's tax attributes on the other side, and we're going to determine what your refund would have been not taking his tax situation into account or her tax situation into account, and then to figure out what you should get. And then whatever number that ends up being, is what the service will be willing to refund back to you. Because really the short answer here is that your spouse had, it's his responsibility for that back debt.
Right.
You never signed up to be responsible for it, and you shouldn't get dinged on a tax return simply because you're filing, you know, a joint tax return with your spouse. There's two ways kind of to ask for injured spouse relief. And I think really the short answer, Ben, is depending on whether you knew about the existing liability that your spouse had,
right,
or not. One way is that simply if you're aware, if your spouse comes clean and says, hey, you know, I've got these back tax issues, or I've got some back child support issues, you know, I've got something that's going to affect our tax refund, then and you have to file joint with right of survivorship because maybe some credits that you want to take advantage of or some other tax attributes and items are necessary to file the joint return, then you want to make sure that you send in that form 8379 with your actual return. You won't e-file it. Yeah, you'll go ahead and send it on in. You know that if you don't send this in, they're going to offset your refund because you're aware that there's going to be a problem with your spouse's back tax debt that's mm-hmm. owed. And you just file this. You file 8379 with your return. You make sure you put injured spouse at the top of your 1040 form, the top left-hand corner. Make it big and bold. And then the service.
Of your 1040.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
they're looking for the other form.
You're correct. You're going to file your 1040 with injured spouse at the top. You're going to file along with form 8379, which again allocates the income items, the deduction mm-hmm. items. And then the service will make the adjustment and send you your portion of the refund check that checks out under injured spouse relief. Or in the more likely scenario, which is that you all of a sudden get a notice that your tax refund or refundable tax credit has been offset to pay your spouse's existing liability, then in that particular regard, Ben, all you have to do is send in form 8379 and request the injured spouse relief. And, you know, again, as long as you meet that you should get back some tax mm-hmm. refund or get back a refundable credit, that the return was filed jointly, and you're not legally entitled to pay that existing debt, then you're going to get back your portion of the money. And just keep in mind, Ben, this isn't a 50-50 split. Some people get confused sometimes and say,
yeah,
we're going to just split everything right down the middle. No, it really is an allocation, as if you filed your return separately from your spouse's. And so that's, you know, you need to make sure when you claim injured spouse relief that you are actually entitled to some type of refund or refundable credit.
Is this mostly second marriage type things?
Yeah, I would probably think so. I mean, it's possible. You know, I guess there's a scenario where you could have been filing your returns, married filing separately for a while, and he or she had some type of existing debt, and then all of a sudden you filed jointly 1 year because
right.
maybe it was beneficial, maybe you ran the numbers, and then next thing you know,
yeah.
spouse wasn't coming clean with you and said that he had a back tax debt and your refund gets taken. I guess I could see that happening, but mm-hmm. more than likely, Ben, you're talking about a second marriage or a first marriage where someone had an existing tax obligation during their single days, maybe,
right.
that kind of rears its ugly head. But just the main purpose in saying this is that some people think there's nothing you can do. You know, that they've taken my refund. I've gotten an offset letter from the service. And you know what? There's just nothing I can do about that. And the answer is no. There is something you can do about mm-hmm. it, and it's filing for injured spouse relief. And that's the scenario.
Okay. I mean,
that literally is a scenario for injured spouse relief, and that was how you would go about it.
I've never heard of that one before.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's,
I've heard of innocent spouse relief.
Exactly. Yeah. And innocent spouse relief. And again, we're just going to kind of hit the high points, and mm-hmm. I think we'll pick up next week with some more examples. But, you know, innocent spouse relief is where, you know, your current or more than likely your former
yeah.
a spouse failed to report an item of income or improperly took a deduction or credit. And next thing you know, you're getting dinged and they're trying to collect against you for this particular item. And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't do that. It's mm-hmm. not my fault that item was improperly reported. I had no knowledge or no belief that
right.
happened.
Right.
And so therefore, I'm asking the service to absolve me, even though we filed a joint with a right of survivorship return. I'm, I, I'm, I'm asking the service to absolve me of my liability regarding that portion of the tax debt that's owed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we call innocent spouse relief. So, you know, your classic example, you get a notice in the mail and it says we've adjusted your return. You failed to report an income item. And let's just say that it was $10,000 you failed to report. Then you basically say, wait, I'm not responsible for this. I didn't know about this. I don't know what's going on. If those items start popping in your head, mm-hmm. then we know that we're looking at a case of innocent spouse relief where you're asking the service to not hold you liable for what would normally be a joint debt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple different ways. One is just straight innocent spouse relief, and that's kind of what the scenario that we've been going over right now. There's another one that's separation of liability relief. So we're really going to look at who generated this particular tax liability.
Right.
In this particular one, we're going to need to be a former or a separated spouse in order to get relief under the separation of liability relief, which is basically who generated that liability.
Right.
Whose responsibility right. was that? And if it was the husband, then the wife would be asking the husband to be held liable. If it was the wife, the husband would ask the wife to be held liable for that particular debt, because truly, you know, it's their debt, quote unquote. But keep in mind, you have to meet the former or separated spouse at that point in time to be able to request the relief.
Yeah. I wonder about sometimes, because we've talked about many estate matters as well. Sometimes it may not discover that somebody was liable until after they passed away, and maybe you're filing that final tax return and say, whoa,
that's right.
There's a liability here.
So. Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, if you want to get some advice on your own tax situation, you want to call on the folks at Harvell and Collins, and you can email Andrew at afoster@harvellandcollins.com and join us next week for more Life and Taxes brought to you by Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law.